Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I used to work at Target many years ago. At the time, they were still open 24/7, so I took the overnight shift as a stocker. I was a night owl in college, so that fit into my schedule the best. As much as Target gets rightfully criticized for being a terrible employer, I actually think it was a decent job for where I was in life. It's common knowledge how strange some of the people that come into the store are, but things are way worse in the middle of the night. Thankfully, I didn't have to interact with most of them, but there were occasions when I was hit on or harassed by crazy people. It didn't usually get that bad. But there was this one guy. He gave me the creeps. He was one of the main reasons I ended up quitting before I was finished with college. He came into the store on a freezing cold night in December, long after the hours when the store was still full of customers, when there was barely anyone there except for a few employees. I was crouched down stocking boxes of pasta when I noticed a man walk past the entrance to the aisle. A moment later, he reappeared at the end of the shelves, but he didn't walk into it just then. He stared at me instead. I could see it out of the corner of my eye, but I tried to ignore him. He lingered long enough for me to get a read on him from just a few glances. He was disheveled and dirty, not carrying anything, and a stench of stale feces and urine was already wafting over from him. Eventually, he started walking toward me. Once he was about 5 feet away, he stopped and stared down at me again. By then, the odor of his filth was overpowering. After a few unbearable seconds of silence, he finally opened his mouth and asked where he could find popcorn. I pointed it out to him and he walked away. But I noticed something weird as I watched him go out of the aisle. He had a strange limp as he walked, almost a waddle. Then, he reached back and scratched his crack, seemingly adjusting something inside his pants. Just before he walked out of sight, I confirmed there had to be something inside his pants. Whatever it was big, and it was sandwiched between his cheeks by his waistband. I didn't want to imagine what it could be, but I came up with a few possibilities before I successfully pushed it out of my mind. None of them were good. Thankfully, a few minutes later, I had already forgotten about it. I got back into my stocking flow and wasn't thinking about anything in particular. Just passively longing for the day when I could get out of this menial job and do something more interesting for a living. I was snapped out of my trance by the reappearance of the putrid man. Once again, he stood at the end of the aisle and stared. This time, there was a slight smile on his face. He returned without any popcorn. I knew that out of everything in the store, the only thing he was interested in was me. He approached me again, stepping a bit closer than the previous encounter. The rank stench almost made me gag. I didn't want to look at him or even be around him, but he kept talking to me, trying to flirt. He said he couldn't help but come up and tell me how sexy I was, to which I replied with a simple thanks and a fake smile. He pressed me for information about where I lived, how old I was, if I had a boyfriend, all the typical stuff creeps feel entitled to ask about. I gave fake answers to everything, trying to give him every reason in the world to stop talking to me, but none of it worked. Eventually, he asked for my number, saying we should get together and make a baby with my beautiful genes. I declined outright at first, But after he asked me multiple times and made it clear that he wouldn't take no for an answer, I finally copped out and gave him a fake number. He walked away with a big grin on his face, as if he thought he had actually chatted me up and had a chance of getting in my pants behind whatever dumpster he lived behind. Once again, I noticed that weird limp and the impression of something big in his pants as he walked away, but I was no closer to figuring out what it was. After I finished unloading the cart, I took it to the back end of the store to get a full one. I needed a break after that guy, so I purposely stalled around by the door. Nobody was around to catch me slacking off. I figured I could stand there for about 5 whole minutes without anyone bothering me. Right as I was about to finally leave, the man busted through the door, screaming in my face and threatening to kill me for giving him a fake number. I jumped back in shock, hiding behind the boxes on the cart. The rotting creep asked me if I wanted to know what he did to people that lied to him. I didn't know what that meant, so of course I said no and asked him to calm down, but it had no effect. Then, right in front of my eyes, to my horror, he reached back and stuck his hand down his pants, about to grab something and take it out. I screamed and sprinted out the door. He tried to grab me as I passed him, but I escaped with just a scratch from his filthy fingernail. I ran out of the store and into my car. He was much slower than me and couldn't catch up, but as I pulled out of the parking lot, I looked back and saw him standing in front of the store, holding something I couldn't make out. I drove off and called the night manager to tell him what was happening. It took him a minute to understand why I wasn't coming back for the night, but he did call the cops to find the man. However, he wasn't there by the time they arrived. That scratch on my arm ended up getting infected badly and needed antibiotics. That just goes to show how disgusting he was. Yet, to this day, I still don't know what he was about to pull out of his pants, or whatever horrible experience I managed to escape from. I can only imagine the worst. Target was the worst place I ever worked at, but it isn't Target's fault. I had recently graduated from college and got a new apartment with an old friend of mine, but I couldn't find a job in my area of expertise in time, so I had to get a day job to make ends meet, and Target accepted my application. Of course, I quickly grew to despise working there. I couldn't relate to any of my coworkers. Most of them were generally lifeless and irritable people. Something about that place was soul-sucking. The customers were weird and often aggressive. The job itself was repetitive and menial, and the management was insufferable. In my short stint as a Target employee, I cashiered, stocked, cleaned, did customer service, and walked around as a general associate helping customers. Usually, the days I got to spend walking around were my favorite. However, the worst day I ever spent working at Target was a day when I happened to be walking around. Everything was fine for the first hour or so. I was actually having a somewhat pleasant shift. But then, my rare little rosy moment was incinerated by the sound of one voice. Someone behind me called my name. I recognized the voice like a shell-shocked soldier remembers the sound of artillery fire. I didn't even have to turn around and know who it was. It was my ex-girlfriend, Samantha. I'd broken up with her nearly a year ago. She was beautiful and amazing in bed, but everything else about her was a nightmare. She was diagnosed bipolar as a teenager, but had been refusing to take her prescribed medication ever since she started going to college. Her particular case was severe, though she refused to seek help. As a partner in a relationship, she was paranoid, controlling, jealous, and violent. I was never seriously hurt or traumatized by her, but once the force of nature compelling me to breed subsided, I realized I had made a grave mistake by getting with her. I broke things off, sparking several hellish months of repercussions. I blocked her on everything, but she incessantly found ways to contact me and find out where I would be to confront me. either begging for forgiveness and a chance to talk things through or screaming at me about how I was a horrible person. I continuously shut her down, and while things got dicey for a while, she eventually calmed down and seemed to finally disappear from my life. I hadn't seen her in months. I thought she was finally gone. In that moment, I heard her voice. My blood turned to ice. She was standing right behind me. When I turned around, what was already an awful circumstance for me became the absolute worst case scenario. There she was, grinning and staring me down with empty eyes as always. But instead of wearing a skimpy outfit like she used to do to keep me interested in her body, she was wearing work clothes and a vest. A Target vest. My heart sank to the floor. I couldn't even speak. But Samantha was giddy with excitement. She told me she had just gotten a job at Target, not knowing that I was working there, and had randomly been assigned to me for training. She said it must have been divine intervention, that it was a sign that we were meant to be together. I tried to open my mouth to disagree, but I was in shock. I could hardly fathom what was happening to me, much less form coherent words. What I wanted to say was, "What the hell are you doing here? Why can't you get it through your head that I never want to see you again in my life?" None of it came out. Samantha approached me, but I managed to back away. She pouted and refrained from coming any nearer, then sheepishly asked if we could be professional and do her training if I didn't want to talk about things. At a complete loss, I went along with it. I finally got my voice back and barely managed to start explaining things to her. We were all right for a few minutes while I kept my eye on her, bashfully smiling and trying to look cute and innocent, but I knew it was all a facade. As soon as I turned my back on her, she grabbed my arm. I immediately ripped her hand off of me and physically recoiled, looking at her with anger and disgust in my heart, just before briskly walking off to my manager's office. Samantha followed me inside. The manager looked up from his computer with confusion on his face. I wasted no time explaining to my boss that I refused to train Samantha on account of our negative history together. What he said in response made my face go numb. He told me he had never hired anyone named Samantha, and he had never seen the woman standing over my shoulder in his life. I looked back at Samantha in pure terror. She was smiling like I had never seen her smile before. It was half childish embarrassment at being caught doing something bad, and half the deep, twisted satisfaction of a truly evil person inflicting suffering on another person. I was once again unable to speak. My manager ordered Samantha to leave, and told her to stop impersonating a Target employee or he would have her arrested. He was polite enough to give me a few minutes to put myself back together before having me go back to work. The rest of the day was strange. I don't remember much of it. I spent most of it thinking about how scared I was of Samantha. Finally, at around 10 p.m., I was free to go home. I walked out into a dimly lit, mostly empty parking lot. My car was parked all the way at the back. I opened my car door and sat down, but before I could get my left foot inside, I felt a hand grab my leg, and then a searing pain sliding across my ankle. I looked down screaming, and saw Samantha's hand grabbing my ankle with a knife in her other hand. She had sliced right across my Achilles tendon. I could literally see it in two pieces. Then, she slid out from under the car, smiling, saying something I'll never forget. "You can't run from me now." But I did anyway. With my right foot, I stomped her head as hard as I could. She let go, giving me a chance to hobble back to the store while she was dazed and beg one of my coworkers to call the police. When the cops arrived, Samantha was gone, and I was taken to the hospital. Thankfully, she was arrested later and eventually sentenced to over a decade in prison. After many months' recovery and physical therapy, I could walk almost normally, but with a slight limp. Shortly before the end of my lease, I got a job offer in a different state. I took it in a heartbeat, knowing Samantha would never be able to find me again. When I was 15, I lived really close to a Target. My parents didn't have a lot of money, and I was able to walk there by myself, so that's where I bought most of my clothes. It was fun to go there with friends whenever they happened to be hanging out at my house, but I went shopping by myself a lot. My parents didn't approve of that, but I always thought what they didn't know wouldn't hurt them. If I had time after school before they got home from work, I liked to sneak a quick trip to Target. One day I had gotten out of school early, so I had almost 4 hours to myself. I blew off my homework and went straight to Target. I wore my headphones and listened to music. It felt good to block out all the noise of the world, and it helped to keep people from trying to talk to me while I was relaxing from the day. When I got to Target, the old greeter lady waved at me to say hi without talking to me. I thought it was funny that we had seen each other so many times, yet we had never once actually spoke. In fact, I recognized many of the employees at the store, and they might have recognized me too, but I never talked to any of them. I would say the normal hello and thank you through my headphones at checkout, but that was it. Going to Target alone wasn't a social experience. It was a time for me to shop and use whatever small amount of money I had to get a new top or a new pair of jeans. It was me time, but of course someone had to ruin it. I was at the shoe rack looking for a new pair of flats when I noticed a man on the other side of the rack trying to talk to me, waving his hand into view. He was short and chubby, maybe in his mid-30s, with a scraggly neck beard and a receding hairline. I ignored him at first, hoping he would get the message and go away, but he persisted. I gave in and took out my headphones to ask him if he was talking to me. He said he was, and he wanted to point out that I looked a lot like his daughter. I didn't know how to respond. I couldn't even tell if it was supposed to be a compliment. After hesitating for a second, I finally just said thanks without giving him much positivity to go off of. Then I put my headphones back in and went back to what I was doing. That's when he had the nerve to reach over the rack and tap me on the shoulder. I took my headphones out again, making it quite clear that I was irritated with him, but he was smiling like we had just hit it off. Then he asked me how old I was. I replied with 14, sternly enough to make it an obvious reason to stop talking to me. It didn't take. His response was actually sickening. He said it was a wonderful age for a girl, but not so much for boys. As I was stunned for a moment, he went on to explain himself unprompted. A girl my age was at the cusp of womanhood, but still had the innocence of a child. That's what he said. Before I could come up with anything to say, he asked me my name. I immediately gave him a fake name, Madeline. To which he literally swooned and gushed over how pretty of a name I had. I was starting to feel like my best possible defense was to give in to my nausea and throw up on him. The man kept pressing me for information about myself. He wanted to know where I lived, but I tried to convince him I was from a different state and just passing through on a trip with my family. When he asked to meet my mom and I couldn't prove she was there, he showed his true nature. He suddenly revealed that he had recognized me from before. He said he'd seen me in the store a few times, and I was always alone when he saw me. He thought I was lonely. He thought I could use a friend. My world was turned on its head. How many times had I believed I was alone, only for the truth to be that I was actually being watched and tracked by this creep? I couldn't take it anymore. I flat out ignored him and walked away, putting my headphones back in so I couldn't hear him. I made my way a few sections over and hid in the women's underwear area. I wasn't looking for underwear that day, but I thought it was the safest place to hide from that weirdo. I figured if somebody saw a guy lurking around racks and racks of women's underwear, they would definitely have a problem with it. I was trying to catch my breath and settle down. That creep had given me a nasty shock. My mind was running with all the consequences of knowing he'd been spying on me. I wasn't able to go back to this Target ever again, certainly not alone. I hoped he hadn't followed me home and found where I lived. I wish I'd been more aware of my surroundings instead of sticking headphones in my ears all the time. Then, a hand cut my shoulder. I screamed,
turning around to see the same creep standing in front of me, his other hand reaching out to touch my face. I shoved him away on instinct and sprinted away. I flagged down the nearest Target employee and told them I was being followed by a man I didn't know. They took me over to the manager's office, where they said I could stay until I got picked up, or if I wanted the manager to call the police for me. I opted to call my mom. I was already freaking out, and I didn't want the added pressure of a bunch of cops showing up and asking me questions. My mom was upset at me for going alone, but she promised to hold back on scolding me until I was safe. She left work early to pick me up and drop me off at home. For the rest of the day, I looked out my window, waiting for that disgusting creep to show up. Thankfully, he never did.
In the summer of 2023, it was blazing hot in New York City. I had just finished my summer job, and as Labor Day weekend was right around the corner, I really wanted to go on one last vacation before I went back to college. I ultimately decided to go to a lake in the Adirondacks. It was much cooler up there, and I needed a break from the loud noises in the city. I came home on my last day at work and spent most of the night packing for my trip. I decided to book an Airbnb because it was much less expensive than the overpriced hotels. At 7 a.m. the next morning, I started the long drive to my destination. Around 5 p.m., I arrived at the Airbnb. I walked to the front door and rang the doorbell. I was greeted by an elderly couple, which I assumed to be the owners of the house. The woman introduced herself as Francis, and the husband introduced himself as Evan. They showed me around the house and took me to my room, which I would be sleeping in for the next 2 nights. I thanked them. They seemed really nice. As I closed the bedroom door, I noticed that it didn't have a lock on. I found this a little strange because I was sure the other rooms had locks. However, it was a pretty old room with plenty of other quirks, so I didn't think too much of it. After settling in for a little while, I left to explore the town and get dinner. I came back to the house around 8:30 p.m. When I walked in, I didn't hear or see the couple anywhere. I saw their car parked in the driveway, so I assumed they were home and had gone to bed early. After locking the front door, I showered, got dressed in my pajamas, watched some TV, then read a book before going to bed around 10:30. I made sure the door was closed for privacy, even though I knew I couldn't lock it. The next morning, I woke up to see that the door was now open, and Frances, the old lady, was watching me from down the hallway. I asked her if she was okay. She was frozen for about 10 seconds, then finally mumbled something about checking on me to make sure I was okay. Then she walked off. I thought to myself that there might be something wrong with her. Why else would she watch me sleep and lie about it? Does she do this to all guests? Is her husband aware of her behavior? I found it to be very strange. It didn't seem right to me. And the fact that the door didn't have a lock made it seem like it was planned from the start. However, once I had breakfast and coffee, I forgot about the whole incident. I didn't want to dwell on it and spoil my vacation. I went to go swim and relax at a nearby beach for most of the day. I also took a drive around the large lake by the house. It was very beautiful, and I even considered getting a summer house up there one day. After a long day of being out, I got home around the same time as the previous night, but this time Evan and Francis were awake sitting on the couch. I waved and said hi to them, but neither of them said hi back. I found this weird, obviously, but while I stood there waiting for a response, I realized that they weren't just ignoring me. The TV was off, and they weren't doing anything except staring at a black screen. Their eyes were open, but it was like they were sleeping, sitting up. It creeped me out, but I decided not to be around it, so I went about the rest of my night. As 11 o'clock hit, I was getting tired and decided to call it a night. Before going to sleep, I thought about what happened that morning. I was really hoping nothing like that would happen again, because I was really thinking that one or both of the hosts had some kind of dementia. What happened the next morning left me mentally scarred. It was something I never would have suspected in a million years. When I woke up, I felt something funny on my body. It took about 30 seconds for me to come to reality. I slowly realized that the covers had been pulled off my body and the bottoms of my pajamas weren't on anymore. What I saw next was worse than any sleep paralysis demon imaginable. Right in front of me on the bed, I saw the 70-year-old woman sitting on my legs. I let out a loud scream and pushed the woman off the bed. Then I ran out of the house, taking only my phone, wallet, and car keys. I left everything else behind. I got in the car and sped out of there without looking back. As I was driving, I called 911. I told them everything that had just happened while struggling to catch my breath. The operator told me to go to the nearest police station. When I arrived at the station, I was a mess, and I could barely speak properly. After talking with the police for about half an hour, they told me that they would investigate their house and question them, but they said they couldn't arrest the woman right away without any evidence. I thanked them for their time and drove all the way back home to the city. I got home around 4. After recovering and thinking about what had happened this morning, something finally hit me. The reason my door had no lock was so they could watch me sleep and do sickening things to me. The husband was either complicit and shut down whenever the woman was doing these things, or worse, he was involved, and I just never saw it. The whole thing was very disturbing. I wondered if the woman had done something like this to their other guests before. I decided to report the page and try to get it taken down, but as I looked for the place, I saw that it was no longer available. The woman must have taken it down herself. I never heard anything back from the police, and I never knew if they had arrested her or not. It's been almost a year now, and this incident pops up in my head every now and then. It makes me want to throw up. I haven't been to the Adirondacks again after what happened, and I don't plan on going back.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.